Good morning. We are now 6 weeks into our shelter in place, and we are anxiously awaiting the day when we can gather together again here in this sanctuary and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, together once again. In the meantime, we wait. We wait in a way that we have never waited before, separated from one another, which is so very strange for us. Today, I want us to explore what God has to say about the value of waiting. 6 weeks ago, when we were told that we could no longer meet together, I began a new series of sermons done by video entitled Knowing Peace in Troubled Times. In this series of sermons, we have already been reminded that, first, God is our refuge, from Psalm 46. Second, God is our deliverer, Psalm 34. And third, God is our source of peace. We looked at John 14, verse 27, where Jesus told his disciples that he would give them a peace that passes all human understanding. That same peace is given to us through our relationship with Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. So we have learned that in troubled times, we can have divine peace as we seek our refuge in God and as we trust in Him to be our deliverer. But how long must we wait for that deliverance? Why should we have to wait at all? Today, as we conclude this special sermon series, I want to look at what God says about our need to wait for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to preach your Word. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. You have revealed these truths to us, truths that will help us in times like these. Lord, I pray that you will give us ears to hear what you have to say to us today. And Lord, help me to communicate the word that you've laid on my heart for your people. We will give you the praise and glory for this, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This message is actually inspired by a sermon preached by my good friend and mentor, Pastor Tony Sinelli, at Grace Bible Church on April 5th. It was the third sermon that he preached looking at Psalm 27, and it focused on the last four verses of that psalm. At the end of that sermon, which I was able to listen to because they're live streaming during the shelter in place, he focused briefly on the topic of waiting that is found in verse 14. Let me read to you Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. Listen to what God's word says to us. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. That verse, verse 14, begins with a commandment, wait for the Lord, and it ends with the same commandment, wait for the Lord. This phrase is repeated twice for emphasis in this verse. And as we will see in just a moment, this is an oft-repeated theme in Scripture. The main point of this sermon today, which is used by permission from Pastor Tony, is this. For the child of God, waiting time is not wasted time. Let me say that again. For the child of God, waiting time is not wasted time. Waiting time is not a delay in the will of God taking place. Waiting time is the will of God taking place. It is purposeful in God's plan to shape and mold us to be more like His Son, Jesus Christ. So the first point that I want to make today is that we need to wait for the Lord. As I just read, this is stated over and over and over again in Scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament. Let me just share a few of those passages with you. Psalm 25:5 states it this way: "You are the God of my salvation, for you I wait all the day long." Again, in Psalm 31:24, we read these words: "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord." Again in Psalms 37, verse 7, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." And one of our favorite passages, which will be very familiar with you, to you, is found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Where we read these words: "They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." We need to wait for the Lord. I would like us to open up our Bibles to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. And I know what you might be thinking: Book of Lamentations, where is that? Well, it's found in the Old Testament right after the book of Jeremiah. I have actually never preached from the book of Lamentations, and so this morning is a first. The book of Lamentations was written after the destruction of Jerusalem and the fall of the kingdom of Judea to the Babylonians, which occurred in 586 BC. So approximately 600 years before the birth of Christ. It is written during that forced exile of the Jews, where they were removed from the promised land and from their temple. And this forced exile would last not weeks, not months, but decades. During this time of exile, God's people would need to wait upon the Lord for their time of deliverance, for the time when they could once again gather together and worship together at the temple. In the meantime, while they are waiting, the writer of Lamentations tells us explicitly that the Lord is good to them. So look with me at Lamentations chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Listen to what the writer is saying here. There's a small two-letter, single-syllable word in the English that is so important. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. Not the Lord will be good to those who wait for Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. In the midst of a very troubling time, the writer acknowledges that God is good to those who wait. It is present tense. It is ongoing. Not that God will be good. He is good to those who wait for him. How is it that he is good to them? Well, look at the verses immediately preceding these verses. Look at verses 22 through 24. Listen to what the writer says about the goodness of the Lord. Verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Wow. These are some amazing statements about how the Lord is good to us in the midst of our waiting for him. It starts with this statement, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And I'll tell you something, that statement never ceases to amaze me. That God has loved me with that chesed love, that steadfast love, that unwavering love. And he has demonstrated that love for me by sending his only begotten son to pay the penalty for my sins. If he would give us his son to bear our sins upon the cross, to become the lamb who takes away our sins, to suffer in our place, if he would love us so much to do that, what would he not then continue to love us and to give us all good things? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, no matter our circumstances, no matter how troubled the times are in which we are waiting for our deliverance. The steadfast love of God never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Again, what an astounding statement. Our God is merciful towards his children. He has chosen us to be his beloved children, to be the beloved bride for his son. He has predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters. And he has shown his mercies to us in forgiving us our sins in Christ. And he continues to show his mercies upon us by blessing us, by loving us, by providing for us. The next statement, great is your faithfulness. Again, God is steadfast in his faithfulness towards us. Everything he has promised to us will come to pass. God is faithful. And then the writer states this, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is my portion. The Lord supplies my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The Lord sustains his people. His love, his grace, his mercy, his faithfulness towards us. That becomes our portion. It is tangible to us that God loves us, that he is our heavenly Father, that we are his beloved children. Therefore, I will hope in him. We hope in him. We don't hope in our government. We don't hope in the things of this world. We hope in him who is steadfast in love, whose mercies never come to an end, who is great in his faithfulness, who supplies our every need. Our hope is set upon him. Therefore, in him and for him we wait. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Listen to this quote from Paul David Tripp. I love Paul David Tripp. Great writer. I look forward to his Wednesday word online each week. And Pastor Tony Sinelli quoted this quote in his sermon a few weeks back. And it just blessed me. It just touched my heart. Listen to this quote on this topic. Quote, "Waiting on God isn't about the suspension of meaning and purpose. It's part of the meaning and purpose that God has brought into my life. Waiting on God isn't to be viewed as an obstruction in the way of the plan. Waiting is an essential part of the plan." Isn't that beautiful? Waiting is an essential part of the plan. For the child of God, waiting isn't simply about what I will receive at the end of my wait. No. Waiting is much more purposeful, efficient, and practical than that. Waiting is fundamentally about what I'll become as I wait. God is using the waiting to do in and through me exactly what He's promised. He goes on to say this, "Through the wait, God is changing me. By means of the wait, He's altering the fabric of my thoughts and desires. Through the wait, He's causing me to see and experience new things about Him and His kingdom. And all of this sharpens me, enabling me to be a more useful tool in His redemptive hands." That is just an amazing quote. And again, that really highlights the main point of this message. For the child of God, waiting time is not wasted time. God is working in our present situation to strip away many things and to show us what is essential, what is to be desired above all things, what is most important. He is giving us time to focus on Him, to draw near to Him, to trust in Him, and to focus our attention on pleasing and glorifying Him. We are to wait for the Lord. But that waiting is not to be passive. It is to be active. We could say it's to be active waiting. So let's look at what we should be doing as we wait. Let's look at how to be active in our waiting. In the time that we have left, I want us to look at three things we should be doing as we wait upon the Lord to deliver us from our current situation. We should draw near to God, we should encourage one another, and we should be a witness for Christ. As I said before, God has stripped away so many things that are not essential in our lives, and He's done this for a purpose. And I pray that we will use this time to focus on what we should be doing in our lives. The first of these is that we should draw near to God. James chapter 4, verse 8 tells us just that, where James writes, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." If we're a child of God, it is our desire to be near to Him. It is our desire to spend time with Him. It is our desire to grow more deeply in love with Him. And we do that through knowing Him. God desires us to draw near to Him. That is why He provided the way for us to do so through His Son, Jesus Christ. God has a deep desire for His children to draw near to Him, to spend time with Him, to grow in relationship with Him. And He has provided the means for us to do so. Those means include His Word, the privilege of prayer, and the ability to worship and give thanks to Him. Now He has also given us a window of time in which we can focus on drawing near to Him through these means that He has provided to us. I know that the Lord has helped me in this regard, and I am hearing this from others also. This time is a great opportunity for us to establish new patterns in our lives as we draw near to the Lord and spend time with Him. This is good for our soul, and He delights in our time spent with Him. The second way for us to be active in our waiting is to encourage one another. In Hebrews chapter 10, we read these familiar words. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up or encourage one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Because of the current shelter in place, we cannot meet together as we used to or would like to. We are not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. We simply are unable to meet together. But due to modern technology, we can still encourage one another. We can encourage one another to love and good works. And I believe we should be doing so. We have the means to reach out to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have the means to reach out to the other members of our church family to encourage them. And we should do so. What are the means I'm talking about? Well, some of these are modern and some of these are not so modern. We have the means of the phone. Most of us carry a phone with us nowadays. We can text. We can email. Or we could go the old-fashioned way and we could send a card or a letter. And then, of course, there is social media. We'll be careful with that. But my point is this. We can utilize the time that we have right now to reach out and encourage one another, just as God has commanded us to do. And He has promised that that will be a blessing both to us and to those that we reach out to. And so I hope that you will take the time and make the effort to reach out to your brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage them to press into God. Encourage them to actively wait for the Lord. There is a third way for us to be active in our waiting, and that is to spend time being a witness for Christ. You and I are called to be a witness for Christ. And there has never been a better time for that. There is so much fear, so much darkness in the world right now. Much of it is simply a fear of the unknown. This is the time for us who know the God of the universe, the one who is in complete control. This is the time for us to shine as lights in this present darkness. This is the time for people to see and hear in us a peace that passes all human understanding. They need to see and hear that we can be at peace and find meaning and even joy in these present circumstances. And that will lead to opportunities for us to share the gospel with family, friends, and neighbors. And this is exactly what the Apostle Peter tells us to be prepared to do. Let me read to you 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Peter writes these words: "In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Peter says a lot here in a single verse. It starts with, in our hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. In order to do that, we must first believe and trust in Christ as our Savior and our Lord. We must put our faith and trust in His finished work on the cross on our behalf. We must believe that He paid the penalty for our sins, that we are justified through His sacrifice, and that as a result, we are credited with His perfect righteousness. We must believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through Him. And we must come to the Father through Him. And then we are to honor Christ the Lord as holy. That is why we draw near to God. That is why we spend time in the Word of God, in prayer, in worship. We desire and endeavor to honor Christ the Lord as holy. And as we do so, as we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we understand the gospel, we are being prepared then to give an explanation, to make a defense to anyone who asks us for the reason for that hope that we have, for that faith that we have, for that joy that we have, for the peace that we have. Remember, this is a divine peace. It's a peace that's not dependent on circumstances. It's not dependent upon what's happening in the world. It's not altered by a pandemic. It's not altered by a shelter in place. It's not altered by a financial depression. We have a peace that comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that is out of this world. It's not something that can be explained or understood. It's not rational. It's supernatural. And believe me, if you live your life in such a way that you are declaring that you have joy and peace and confidence and faith in God in your current circumstances, you will have an opportunity to share why that is. That is what Peter wants us to be prepared to do, to answer to our family, our friends, our neighbors, how it is that we can be at peace and even have joy in our current circumstances. And we are to do this with gentleness and respect, knowing that we cannot convince anyone to believe in Christ. We cannot cause anyone to be saved. We are responsible to share the gospel, the good news, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. But we're not responsible to win an argument or to convince an unbeliever. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It is God, the Holy Spirit, that must change their heart. But we can be active in being a witness for Christ. Well, in summary, I would like to remind you of what we have heard this morning. We have seen that throughout both the Old and the New Testament, God clearly calls us to wait for the Lord, to trust in God's plan, to expect God to be working, even in the midst of our most difficult circumstances. He is in control. He has a plan. He is at work, conforming us to be more like His Son. And we can wait, actively wait on the Lord. And our waiting needs to be active waiting as we make wise use of the time that God has given to us, as we draw near to God, as we encourage one another, and as we take the opportunity to be witnesses for Christ. Remember, for the child of God, waiting time is never wasted time. Let us redeem the time that God has given to us, even as we wait for the Lord. I pray that you will be able to do this, that you will gain a new perspective, as I have, on God's plan for us that includes waiting upon Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to once again be reminded that you are God. You are in control. You are in control over everything in this universe. As Dr. R.C. Sproul loved to say, there is not one random molecule in the universe. That means there is not one random COVID-19 virus in the universe. No, Father God, this did not catch you by surprise. In fact, this is part of your divine plan. And even though we don't understand that, we do not understand the full ramifications of why these things are happening to us, we know, Father God, that you are indeed in control. And we know that your deepest desire for us, your children, is that we would become more like your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father God, we have to believe that you are working through this time of waiting to further conform us to the image of your Son, to work in us and through us for your good pleasure. So, Father God, help us to make wise use of this time that we have been given. Help us to strip away those things that are not important in our life. Help us to draw near to you. Help us to encourage one another and help us to be effective witnesses for Christ, that you might be glorified in us and in this world in which we live. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.